Other horns don't.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Don't let them play against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. Zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome back to the Alabama Football Podcast National Championship pregame show. Tom, last time we broke down Alabama's offense against Notre Dame's defense. Let's flip the field. Alabama stop squad against the Golden Domers offense. How do you see this chess match playing out?
You know, just like we talked about on the other side of the field, it's interesting because, you know, the Notre Dame offense is to go against a 3-4. And so they probably feel pretty comfortable against that setup with the type of offense that they run. But as we alluded to in the other show, they have not seen any defensive coaching staff run the different formations at them, much less at a quarterback as young as Golson. I think Golson's head's going to be swimming by halftime.
Yeah, now he is a quarterback that has certainly come on, you know, kind of pressed into action early in the season due to some suspensions, you know, performed well, and he has evolved considerably as the season has gone on. I think he's not as good of a runner as Denard, although he is fleet of foot, and he's a little bit, probably a little bit better passer than Denard Robinson with Michigan. He's a 59% passer, you know, got 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. You know, he runs the ball about 25% of the time.
Now, real quick, think about what you just said. 11 touchdowns and 5 picks, right? That can't be anything that scares us.
No, that does not. And I'm not building him up as a player that necessarily should scare us. I think he's gotten better as the season has gone along. But, you know, kind of circling back to your point, just adding some color to it, really, I don't think he has faced a defense, you know, quite like what we're going to bring to the table. We're going to come out with nickels. We're going to come out with dimes. I don't know how much of that they've necessarily, you know, see. You know, teams come in with the mindset of, you know, think about this. We base out of a nickel. Now, coach wouldn't call that our base, but, you know, we have for the last 2 years, right? So we're gonna come out in that base nickel. We may even, you know, come out in more dime with playing Vinny kind of as a, you know, more of a spur linebacker. I think that's a hybrid look we may see. And so we're going to, you know, he's going to line up and see that many defensive backs and think, oh yeah, we're going to be able to run against these guys. And they're not going to be able to run against our defense. And then right. and then all of a sudden, well, wait a second, they've got 5 and 6 DBs already out there. And we can't run against this unit. How am I ever going to pass against these guys? And so I do think that, you know, he's going to kind of have, you know, very quickly a rush, you know, sort of a range of reaction that, yeah, I think we can run against these guys. We can't. I don't think I can pass against them.
Well, and let's go back to the run against them for just a moment, because, you know, we didn't touch on this with Barrett Jones because obviously he wouldn't be doing the touring circuit there. Post-game awards if he wasn't going to play. He's a tough, gritty kid. But I saw firsthand in that Georgia game when Jesse Williams was on the sideline that they had a lot of success running up the middle, even with Damian Square trying to line up over the center. And so Jesse Williams being in this ball game is crucial to the success of our defense.
Yeah, I completely agree 100% with that. It's going to be an opportunity, you know, not dissimilar from a couple of years ago. I guess it was the 2010 season when we played Michigan State, who was the number 7 team in the country at the time, by the way. And we had an opportunity to get guys healthy. You know, Courtney Upshaw had played the bulk of that season with a high ankle sprain, and other guys had suffered through injuries as well. Well, this team is like that. Now, we've lost some guys for the season that are gone. We've got a lot of guys just dinged up and banged up and not 100%. And Jesse's one of those. Barrett's one of those. Some of the receivers, you know, that aren't gone necessarily are banged up. And I think we're going to come back fresh. And Jesse's going to be the kind of guy that go out with bang. This is his opportunity to everyone's talking about the Notre Dame front seven. He's going to want to make a name for himself and you know, his front seven. And then that just parlays, you know, potentially him into, you know, his draft stock. I think that he's going to be healthy and he's going to play big. And then Brandon Ivory is another guy that's been dinged up and was almost heroic in coming in for the Georgia game because he was not going to play until Jesse got hurt. And he came in and, you know, performed admirably. And so I think he's going to be healthy and ready for this game with this layoff, and he's going to be able to provide that size and depth at the position.
Oh, sure. And I think going back to your and I guess the reason I wanted to point out the Jesse Williams thing is just because the middle of that defense is so huge for us. But going back to Dame for a second, there are two things that do concern me. Number one, that I probably should have started the show with, is Tyler Eifert. You know, I was in that Georgia Dome when Vinny was trying to cattle herd a much smaller Georgia tight end as he was about to score the game-winning touchdown at the 8-yard line. And so then when I look at Notre Dame's tight end at 6'6", 260 pounds, that matchup does concern me a little bit.
Yeah, and I tell you what, on paper, he is scary. And he does have some talent. I think he is another example of this Notre Dame offense having a ceiling. They just absolutely have a ceiling. Everett Golson, we've talked about him, has a lot of talent, but his measurables just demonstrate that he has a ceiling. Tyler Eifert is a fantastic tight end, but he averages under 3 catches a game, and he has a touchdown on the season. And I just think that doesn't mean he can't come out and have a big day and he can't be dangerous in matchups, but he could do that throughout the season. I just think that they're going to struggle getting him the ball. We're going to have run some delayed blitzes, get some pressure after Golsom. I think he's going to throw some interceptions. And I think where they may have some matchups, the quarterback's got to deliver the ball. And I don't think that they can consistently beat us with that. Will they get a touchdown? Yeah, maybe. I just don't think – will they get some first downs? Sure. I just don't think they will consistently drive the field and beat us with that matchup.
Oh, sure. But just the matchup against our safeties, I think that should be something that they – in watching film, that should be something that they go after us with. I guess what is interesting, and this is just their offense in general – you know, Eifert is their leading, you know, reception guy with 44 catches. He top tight end in the nation. And so I guess it is interesting, you know, how do you give the award to someone who only has 4 touchdowns on the year? That's kind of a sidebar, but that is interesting to me.
Yeah. Now that doesn't mean he can't be a weapon. And that doesn't mean if I wasn't, you know, the Notre Dame offensive coordinator, that I wouldn't be looking for a way to get him matched up with Vinny. How can I draw that coverage?
Yes.
And how can I hit that button again and again? And that's not being mad at Vinny. That's just, you know, we've talked about coverage not being his strong suit. And, you know, he's not 6'7". So if that's a matchup, if I can get my 6'7", you know, tight end matched up against just about anybody that's right, not a tall cornerback, then that's the matchup I want. So if I can get him on a strong safety, then that's precisely what I want. I just don't know if that's something that they'll be able to consistently go to.
Oh, sure. And I think highlight another point. I mean, when you look at the stats for this team, you say, wow, you know, they come in here, you know, scoring 27 points a game to rank a respectable 74th in the country. But when you go back and break down their games game by game, they just struggle to score points. Yeah. I mean, I go back to Michigan, 6 turnovers, you only put up 13 points. Stanford threw 2 picks, you could only get 20. BYU threw 2 picks, you could only score 17 against BYU. USC throws 2 picks, you can only score 22. So I don't even think this team scares me between the 20s a whole lot, maybe converting a couple first downs. But to your point, I just don't see them stringing together 70 and 80-yard drives.
Not consistently. I really don't. And that's why I really feel that they have a ceiling on offense. They're the 49th ranked offense. Scoring 27 in today's college football is not, you know, they're ranked in the 70s, and that's 70s out of about 119 teams. That's not that, you know, I think you were being sarcastic when you called that respectable. You know, our average, you know, just to kind of put it in comparison, and Alabama's not considered, you know, an offensive juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination, but we average 38 points a game, and they have scratched that total three times all season. So they have hit our average three times on the year.
Yeah. I will say one other matchup that would concern me a little bit is Theo Riddick. And going back and researching these guys, you know, he is a converted wide receiver.
Yep.
He was the number two on the depth chart last year. And so he's been kind of thrust into the role of being the workhorse at running back. And so with 35 catches on the year, so Nico Johnson, Trey DePriest out of the backfield, that matchup, once again, it's just a small matchup issue. But that is the only other area that I see them exposing us.
Well, and that's something that, you know, and if they want to kind of be flex and be multiple, and, you know, this is where they're, you know, not a modern day SEC team, but, you know, a 2000s SEC team where they can be versatile and flexible. You know, they can take a Theo Riddick out of the backfield and flex him out into a receiver position. And they can take Tyler, you know, the big tight end, have him in tight and flex him out. And so they look like a power run and they flexed out to maybe, you know, four or five wides. They can do that kind of thing. And that's fine. I think that could throw off a lot of teams. But if we're already rolling out a nickel, I think the upside potential or the surprise factor of that is minimized.
Oh, sure. I agree with that. And going back just to the matchup with Golson for a second, I think we're going to not blitz him. I don't think we're going to have to blitz him. I think we're going to see kind of like we tried to do in the last three quarters against Texas A&M. I think we're going to let him stay in the pocket, but just keep contained. Do you agree with that?
I think that we will show that, but I think we'll get after him. And what I think we'll do is a number of delayed blitzes. And what I think that really starts to speak to is that he's not that good of a runner. He's not a Manziel. He's not a Denard. He's good, but he's not that good. And, you know, his passing's okay. And so what I think we're going to do is give him the sort of the comfort, the fake comfort. Okay, they're going to let me stand in here. We're going to shoot someone up. I think that, you know, with the nickel and the dime, what it's going to feel like to them is that we're playing with 12 defenders because we're going to have the coverage sort of roped off because I don't think they have a lot of threats in the passing game. You know, they've got another receiver, TJ Jones, we can talk about, their second leading receiver. He only has 5 touchdowns. You know,
he was not even a starter last year.
Right.
And he has become their number one receiver.
Right, right. But he's not a true downfield threat. And so what I think is if, you know, take a Blue and a Milliner or a Geno, I think that we can work some coverage to these guys. And if we're out there in a nickel, we're out there in a dime even sometimes, I think that we will have a man that we can free up to manufacture some pressure. And so when you're saying that we're going to, you know, play contain and just kind of keep him in the pocket, I think we'll show that, but we will get after him inside underneath.
Well, what do you think about the story that one of his favorite receivers, Devarius Daniels, who missed the final two regular season games with a broken clavicle, was going to be back in the game? And looking at the stats, he's had a respectable 15 yards a catch, had 25 catches for 375 yards. And so that might be a big shot in the arm for them if, you know, back for their football team.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, if they have a player coming back that they have some comfort with, it starts to give them another weapon because again, I do think they're limited. I like their stable of running backs, you know, Sierra Wood, Theo Riddick, and George Atkinson, but I can't get past thinking that they're limited. I mean, the average 26, you know, 27 a game, and there's, you know, there's some non-juggernaut defenses on their schedule that they struggle to put up points against.
Well, and it goes back to my point I made about games, even big time opponents, when they've had a lot of turnovers. I mean, imagine how we would have done against a team that turned it over six times, right? The final score wouldn't have, if Michigan would have turned it over that many times for us, the final score wouldn't have been 13-6. And so in looking at that,
I mean, it wasn't 13-6 and they didn't turn it over six times. I mean, right. We blew the doors off of Michigan's team,
right.
Michigan, and they did not, you know, shoot themselves on the foot six straight possessions with turnovers.
No, that's fair. That's fair. What do you think about, as far as the look goes, do you think we will play predominantly our base nickel in this ball game?
Yeah, I do, but I want to caveat that a little bit, and we've talked about this in other shows. You know, our base nickel has, I won't say historically, because it's almost been, it's just been a unique creature this season where our nickel has been a safety nickel. I think we'll play a nickel, but Geno Smith has worked himself, you know, more and more into the rotation. So I think we play a nickel, but we're playing a nickel with three corners.
Okay.
And so in that scenario, the whole concept of, you know, we're going to create some pressures. Watch Milliner. He's going to be a player to watch, because if we line up in the nickel and we feel like that he is almost an extra man, because we have, you know, we can cover their limited weapons, you know, almost with 11, then, you know, within, then we can be very creative with what we do with Milliner. And we're going to run him up to the line, and we're going to drop him in coverage. He may be a very fun player to watch just because of the versatility, the options that we will have with him.
Well, and I think Vinny is in that same mold as far as at the line of scrimmage. I've talked all season about how I like his ability to do a delay blitz, and I think Vinny might pick up a couple sacks in this ball game as well.
Oh, absolutely. If we're talking, you know, we talked about there, for instance, you know, Notre Dame not having a lot of weapons on offense, not having, you know, great team speed, that may play right into, you know, the type of matchup that Vinny can really exploit, because let's face it, he has a high degree of football intelligence, plays really aggressive up close to the line of scrimmage, is a true playmaker. When he gets beyond 8 or 10 yards back, though, it's easier to get him crossed up in coverage against maybe a team that's not as quick, and letting him play in the box. He could definitely make some plays.
And also, I think the other thing that's going to jump out at this ball game and this matchup is just our team defense. You know, when you go back and look at some of the stats, we've had about 20 more tackles for loss on the season than they have. Now, we've played one more game, and so it should be a little bit of a discrepancy.
Sure.
But not that much. And so I think all the guys into the ball is something else that I want to point out. And the other thing, too, is you and I remember that national championship game last year against LSU, and we talked about how Jordan Jefferson was going to come in that ball game, and he was tired of getting hit the first time they played.
Yes.
I think an Everett Golson is going to get pretty alligator arm in that second half. I think even if we don't get sacks on him, but we just get some good shots on him, I think he's going to feel something in the locker room at halftime that he hasn't felt all season.
If we're able to get some licks on him, it's, you know, Hightower was just violent in how he, you know, treated Peterson, you know, last year. But I do think that if we can get some licks on him, that we can mess with him. And I'll say this, and I don't think this should be understated either. You know, Notre Dame's an independent. They don't play in a conference at all. Much less a conference with the championship game. And so he is going, you know, as a starter, you know, sophomore kind of first year, or, you know, starter part of the season. It's a huge leap to go from, you know, the schedule and the season that he's had to the national championship game. And McCarron's been there a couple times, has had the benefit of playing you know, in the SEC championship game, which is kind of a stair step, if you will. I just think it's a big step to go from your couch watching the championship week, conference championship week, to going to play on you know, center stage in Miami.
Oh, sure. Since you asked me this question on the other side of the ball, who's going to be the defensive player that you think is going to be the MVP of this ball game?
Yeah, I've already kind of spilled my marbles on this one. I think it's D. Milliner. I think that we're going to be so flexible and versatile with him. He's going to line up in the star. He's going to line up in money. He lets him. We're going to drop him in coverage. He's going to run support. He's going to play some one-on-one coverages. He bats balls away. I think Milliner is going to fill up. You know, think of what he did against Michigan, where he was, as a cornerback, was a wrecking crew. You never see that. That's very, very rare. He's going to do that. He's going to do that against Notre Dame.
Okay. Well, I think the player that I'm going to keep an eye out on this ball game is going to be Robert Lester. I think for a similar message of wants to go out with a bang, Robert Lester might not have had the senior year that maybe he wanted to. He hasn't had a bad season, but maybe he hasn't had the type of season that he expected to have. He's still in the national championship game, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think he's going to have a sense of really flying around the field and taking this in this last game and trying to pull his defense to victory in this ball game.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick, too. I think, you know, Robert Lester is one of those guys that we've certainly enjoyed watching over the years. And, you know, for me, I don't want to speak for you, but, you know, for me, he's kind of a favorite player, definitely like Robert Lester. And I think we're both kind of thinking, at least in a similar vein, that our secondary we're saying it without saying it. Our secondary is really going to step up. It's really been given some grief lately. Somehow people think that we can pick on our secondary. We still have the eighth ranked nationally in passing defense. And I think we're both picking out DBs to have big games.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Well, hey, man, I definitely enjoyed it and looking forward to the third show to give our predictions.
Absolutely. Let's come back and talk special teams and predictions. This has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast National Championship Pregame Series. Come back and we'll hit special teams and predictions. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.